Today, I'm talking to a new friend of mine, Catherine Walsh, and we're going to talk a little bit about golf. Golf, you say? Yes, golf. And I'll get to why here in just a few minutes, but for some context on how I met Catherine. Well, my 13-year-old son, Isaac, and I play golf quite a bit in the spring and fall. And last spring, we went out for 9 holes at our local course and got paired up with 2 other people. About halfway through the round, my son, Isaac, was playing pretty well, and he was being so kind to the couple we were with. And after a while, the lady we were playing with came up to me and she said, "Hey, your son is pretty great and just has a great attitude and a good player. I work here and have a free pro golf lesson with our local pro. If he wants, I'll give it to him." And I was like, "Yeah." And so we got connected with the pro, and it turned out to be a friend of mine, Chris, from the gym I work out in. It's a small world. So a few weeks later, we show up for a lesson. And while Isaac is working with Chris, I was in the clubhouse working on my laptop. And as I was working, this lady came up to me and introduced herself. And she's like, "Hey, I'm Catherine, Chris's girlfriend." Chris had told her about holy work. And so we started talking. And that's how I met Catherine. But as we were talking, she told me about this mission she has called For His Glory. Get it? For, F-O-R-E, like for when you're golfing. Catherine felt a pull to start a ministry that gets people outside, slows them down on the golf course, and invites them to connect with God. She's grown quite a following on social media and has partnerships with Titleist and Vessel Golf. It's pretty cool what she's doing, and I wanted you to hear what can happen when you follow that pull in whatever you're interested, even golf, especially golf. But before we get into it today, if you want like all the behind the scenes stuff on me and holy work, plus daily videos and content to inspire and challenge you, follow me on Instagram. That's where I spend most of my time on social media. It's at Luke Lefevre. My name is hard to spell. That's at sign LukeLefevre. Say hi, and that you're a podcast listener. Would love to see you there. Okay, let's get on with my conversation with Catherine Walsh. Catherine Walsh, we're here on the Holy Work Podcast. I'm so glad to have you. I want you guys to get to know Catherine a little bit more. So tell me the story of Catherine and golf. Like, where did that start?
Started when I was a little girl with my dad. He brought me out to the range. I was big on like the dad activities growing up. I feel like hunting and fishing, you know, I grew up in Central Illinois, so there wasn't really a whole lot to do except for outdoor sports and then like going to play golf. So golf was just another thing for my dad and I. I had like a hand-me-down set of clubs from his friend, and he's like, "Just go out and hit balls." I was like, okay, never in a million years did I ever envision like having a career in golf, having a platform in golf. And I mean that in the most humble way, but I really just fell in love with the sport. So I played all throughout junior high, high school, and then got recruited to play in college and then got injured. So I wasn't able to play, but that's how I got into the media side of things. And then God worked it out and I'm back in golf and media. And yeah.
So when you say like, I was kind of good at golf, like, growing up, what does that mean? Like, you played in high school, you were one of the champions on the team, or mid-level person, or what?
I would probably say I was more mid-level.
Okay.
Yes, I can definitely drive the ball. Short game and putting, I think, is where like my dad always like, take a deep breath, think about what you're doing. And I think even now I'm still like, when I putt, it's like I could hit the green in regulation, but there's probably a 95% chance that I'm definitely going to be 3 putting or 4 putting. Like, I'm not going to lie.
Oh man. My son, Isaac, he plays a lot of golf and go out there with him a couple times a week because we don't play a couple times a week, but I take him a couple times a week. And I think golf is like such a good metaphor for life. Mm-hmm. And you're kind of there on your own. You're with other people. But if you hit something off, you're just like, oh, what is it? It has the possibility of shaking up the whole rest of your day. Mm-hmm. If you don't mentally slow down, take that deep breath, like you were saying, and reset. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's really like, I love that's what this podcast is about, is helping people in the midst of their lives figure out ways to slow down, even in the midst of circumstances. And golf, it seems like, oh, it's just a game, who cares, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, no, games are there and they teach us in tiny little microcosms what life is really like. Have you felt that in your life through golf? Or, yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, I would say, I think one thing that I'm most thankful for the sport is not the physical aspect of it, but more so the mental aspect. I think when you're out and, you know, and especially when you're playing competitively in a tournament, you could have one bad shot and you have a choice in that moment. Am I going to let that bad shot affect the rest of my round, or I'm going to take a deep breath, reset, recover, and keep playing to the best of my ability? And I think that that mindset I've been able to transpire to life in general, because, you know, we're going to have bad shots coming at us in life. And, you know, we have a choice. Like, we can't always control an action or a situation, but we can control how we react and move forward from it.
Yeah. Do you think, like, you were born that way, or did your dad or mom teach you it? Where do you think that came from?
I think it's a little bit of both. I am so grateful for the way that my parents raised my brother and I think, one, in a Christian household, first and foremost, we were always told to go to God first. But then also, you know, my parents had this tile in their kitchen, and it said on there, "When life gives you more than you can stand, kneel." I look back on that now that I'm an adult and I've been through things, like how grateful I am for those like few words and the impact that those few words had on my life, just taking a moment just to reset, like say a prayer and then go about my day. Because I think sometimes it can be very easy to react out of emotion. And, you know, I think it's good to just take a minute, take a step back and recenter yourself to move forward.
Yeah. Was the faith side something you grew up with, or where did that come into play?
Yeah. So faith, I actually grew up Catholic. So okay. I went to Catholic school growing up, and, you know, we went to mass on Sundays, 1 hour service, you know, do the sitting, standing, kneeling, communion, all the things in the sacraments. And I am thankful for my background in Catholicism, because I feel like I really got to know the word of God in the sense of why we worship, who we worship, and, you know, all the history behind it. But I would say it was in high school I started going to the non-denominational Christian church across town. And I remember going the first time, and they're like worshiping, their hands are in the air, the music's just going. And they really started talking about having a relationship with God. So it wasn't just my religion at that standpoint, it was my relationship with God. And I would say that in high school is when I really started building an actual foundational relationship with the Lord and letting that be the driving factor for all other relationships in my life.
Yeah, that's interesting. I love the sacrament of Catholicism and the tradition of it. I grew up kind of the opposite. So I went to a very charismatic kind of church growing up, and some of the traditions, even like Ash Wednesday and things like that, weren't part of it. And then once I got married, we moved here to Tennessee. We started going to, I think they called themselves an interdenominational church. So they loved mixing a lot of things together. And I found that I was really attracted to some of the traditions and that I don't know, respect and quiet. And that's the stuff that I was kind of drawn to. So I love the mix of the non-denominational and the Catholicism part of it. It's a really cool thing. For His Glory.
Yes.
Is what you started. You started a ministry called For His Glory. And since we're talking, it's not F-O-R, it's F-O-R-E, because it's tied to golf. Tell me about that. How did that start?
Yes. So I officially launched For His Glory last year.
Okay.
I started doing golf content back in 2019 is when I really like was like hitting the ground running with content. I was just putting everything out there. And I was doing the same things as, you know, I was making the content. I've always had a heart for people with special needs and disabilities. So, you know, I was volunteering and serving a lot. I had the game of golf. I was involved in church and serving in different ministries. And I just had always felt this pull in my life to do ministry in some way, shape, or form. You know, I mentioned going to the non-denominational Christian church in high school. I started like leading and speaking at church and all that kind of stuff back then. And I wanted to be able to transpire that to my adult life. So I remember I got to about, we're in 2025 now. So it was about 3 years ago. I came home and I was like, I I was like really contemplating like leaving the golf industry to do ministry full time. I had no idea like what that would look like. I was living in Franklin, Tennessee at the time. So, you know, income there is really, really important in Williamson County. And I was like, I have no idea what I'm going to do. Maybe I'll like quit my job in golf, you know, and do ministry full time. And I'll never forget the conversation with my parents. Like my parents have always been supportive of me, but I could just kind of hear the crickets in the background of them being like, oh my goodness, is our daughter going to be moving back home? You know? And
she's crazy.
What's she doing? But I really, really prayed about it. And then I just was like, God, I surrender this to you. Like, if you want me to stay in golf, I'll stay in golf. If you want me to do ministry full time, like open up some doors. And then all of a sudden, it's like God started providing these opportunities for me to be able to serve him through the game. And so I got really connected with the Jordan Thomas Foundation, which is a foundation that provides funding for kids that need prosthetics. And I started getting really connected with Jordan and those kids and being able to take my passion for golf and teach them golf. And with Jordan being a golfer too, you know, it worked out. And then in being involved in Special Olympics. And so I'm like, I really love this. You know, I started becoming more outspoken in my faith on my platform on Instagram. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to start my own ministry. And so last year I launched For His Glory, and it essentially was a group of young adults ages 21 to 35. We would meet, I would give a Bible message and speak, and then we would all play golf together because my mindset behind it was that I wanted to be kingdom minded. So all are welcome and centered on obviously like our love for the game, but more so on our love and heart for the Lord. Yeah. And I just wanted us in this season of life, you know, wherever you're at, to be able to just come together and have that fellowship.
Yeah. Tell me about, you used a word early in the story where you said, I felt a pull towards ministry. Tell us what that pull felt like. What was some tangible things that were going on?
Yeah. So it was so interesting. I was getting ready. It was like Sunday school. You know, you go to Catholic school or Catholic church, they have Sunday school. Yeah. And my mom and I would teach Sunday school together. And I remember we were like preparing the teaching, and I came across this verse in Timothy, and it was like talking about having faith as small as a mustard seed. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, like I am not the tallest person in the world. I'm 5'2", and I'd always get made fun of a lot for like my height and being small. And I don't know why I like connected those two, but I'm like, if I'm that small, like if faith as small as mustard seed can like move mountains and have that impact, I'm like, you know what, even though I'm small, like I can still have a great impact and serve the Lord, just how God created me. And I just like took that verse. And then I remember like 2 weeks later, I spoke in church. It was like me, I was like a freshman in high school, I think. And I'm like speaking in front of the congregation. Okay. Everyone's so much older than me. And I'm like, my faith means everything to me. And I just started going. And then all of a sudden, as soon as that happened, like there were people coming up to me and be like, it's really cool that you like proclaimed your faith out loud at your age, you know, just being bold in it. And then just ever since then, I just have always been like, I want to serve the Lord in whatever I'm doing. I don't know if I'm going to be, you know, a golfer. I don't know if I'm going to be a teacher or a doctor or whatever it is. But at the end of the day, I just want to serve God in whatever I'm doing.
Yeah. In the Holy Work method of journaling and this program that I have, we go into the pull, like, and help people define it. And there's three things there's that help them figure out where they think God is pulling them. And it's their story. So everything we go through, our story, yours is golf and faith and your parents. Then it's your restlessness. And then it's your desires as well. So like when you go through and define all those things, you start to see where God is pulling you.
Right.
So when you think about your story, obviously golf's in there, the church is in there. What about your restlessness? Where is somewhere growing up or even in the last few years where you were like, oh, I have an angst there or where I sense something is wrong that I need to fix. Is there something there that you think of?
So I think for me, you know, golf's a big, big part of my story, but I'm also a firm believer and you can't have a testimony without a test.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that there's definitely several times in my life where like looking back on the situation really could have prohibited my ability to either, you know, play golf, you know, Instagram, it could be obsolete tomorrow, you know, it could just like disappear, you know, and then I struggle a lot with mental health, with anxiety and depression. And I was sick at one point too. And so it's like all those circumstances, you know, they happen, you know? Yeah. And I was like, in those moments, it's like, this is like not where I want to be, God. This isn't where I thought I'd be, but like, God, how are you using me in that? And I think it's so important to have that mindset in whatever situation you're in. Cause like back to what I said before, you can't always control someone's actions or what's happening to you, but you can control your reaction. And so like looking back, you know, when I almost lost my ability to play golf, you know, I remember telling the doctor, like, because that was my first question. I was like, am I going to be able to play golf? Am I going to be able to keep doing what I love? And he was like, possibly, but I mean, you're going to have to fight to want it, you know? I think that it was that moment where it was kind of a turning point in my faith, where one of the turning points in my faith where it's like, yes, I'm a golfer, but that's not who my identity is. That's not who I am. You know, I'm a daughter of a king, and my purpose in this world is to serve the Lord. So again, it goes back to, yes, like my passion's golf and ministry, but you know, I could lose my ability to play golf tomorrow, you know, and we just never know what will happen.
Yeah. You have such a positive light coming off of you that I think it's really powerful when you say things like you said just a minute ago, hey, I dealt with anxiety, I deal with anxiety and depression. How does that manifest itself for you today? Like when you say I deal with anxiety, what happens?
It can look at different forms. I would love to sit here and say that I can still be like functional and focused when I have anxiety, but I cannot. Like I will like wake up with like a weight just sitting on my chest, or it'll like transpire throughout the day. And I will just be, I'll like pace back and forth. I'll be like just doom scrolling on my phone, not being productive. You know, I'm just like constantly worrying, constantly in my head. And it definitely can prohibit, you know, my day-to-day life. And then that also affects the other end of it, of dealing with like severe depression and just feeling like your thoughts in this world are just so dark and just overwhelming. Which is where, since we're talking, you know, holy work, we're talking about holy work, where journaling has been a big, big help with that. And, you know, I think I, just knowing myself, have had to be in a place where I have to be very intentional about journaling, because I think, you know, when I'm dealing with anxiety and depression, it can be just so easy for me to, you know, just kind of want to crawl into a hole and not want to do anything productive, at least. And so I'm like, working on training myself, like as soon as I start feeling those anxious thoughts, as soon as I start feeling heavy, is to like get on my knees, like say a prayer, and then just pull out my journal. And it doesn't have to be some like, you know, big philosophical thing, you know, the world's not going to read it. you know, it's just writing down those thoughts, everything that I'm thinking. Cause I have found that when I write down things and I read them back to myself, it almost brings me back to the reality of like, okay, this is bad, or I'm thinking these things, but this is not actually the reality of the situation.
Yeah. And I think that's powerful, that you're not getting on your knees and saying, there's something wrong with me for feeling this way. Or, you know, there isn't. Something is going on, and that anxiety is a signal that something is off. And I love that you sat down and you write out what you're actually thinking and feeling and letting it go to God. A lot of people just say, well, I shouldn't feel this way. I just need to go distract myself and ignore these feelings. Do you find that when you write them down, it kind of releases them? Or is it just like, well, they're over there now, but I'm still pissed, or I'm still anxious, or whatever. How does it work for you?
I think honestly, it's a little bit of both. I would love to sit here and be like, as soon as I write it, like a feather, and I'm just like floating in the air.
Yeah.
But
it's not true.
No, it's definitely not the case. And I think too, you know, you mentioned like people not being able to write things down and just kind of holding it in. Something that I've really, really, really had to work on is telling myself that it's okay to be feeling the way that I am, and not beating myself up for, you know, feeling anxious, feeling depressed, feeling like emotional and sad and hurt and everything. Because I think I struggle too with like, or have struggled with, especially like being on Instagram, you know, showing up in my community, putting that pressure on myself to always show up 110% and not wanting to talk about or put out in the open about how I'm feeling. And I've found that when I put it out there and I speak to God about how I'm feeling, then it feels like Him and I are on the same page. Like, even though like God knows us through and through, because, you know, we're fearfully and wonderfully made in His image and likeness, you know, it's like when I speak it out, I know that I'm on the same page and God knows that I'm on the same page with him.
Yeah.
So it just kind of helps me take a moment to like take a step back and be like, okay, I feel this way. It's okay for me to feel this way. It's okay for me to sit and feel this way for a little bit, but then I can get to a point where, okay, what do I need to do to not feel this way?
Yeah. How do we move forward? That's a really good thing. A lot of folks are like, well, I don't want to feel those things. I don't want to just live in my feelings. And I'm like, no, that's not what we're saying. But if you constantly depress the feelings you're having, you will be depressed because you're depressing all the things that are there. And it doesn't mean go off on a rage, you know, tirade or something. It's like, no, but admitting the fact that I'm angry about something or admitting the fact that I'm hurt or scared, those are huge, important things. And it's interesting thinking about Jesus on the cross, how his final words were full of feeling, full of pain. And my God, why have you forsaken me? Like he's expressing those feelings. And then if he's like the human we're supposed to be emulating, and I know he's not only human, so caveat there, but if he is the pinnacle and he is expressing those feelings and expressing disappointment, of course it's okay that we do it. You know, man. So you talked about the pull. You talked about your story. You talked about the restlessness and some of that anxiousness and depression that comes. When you started to follow this pull towards ministry and golf and some weird mix of it combining together, immediately what I find is that when you start moving towards that, you hit a war.
Oh, yes.
And your doctor, I love what he said. He's like, yes, you're going to be able to do this, but you're going to have to fight for it. Mm-hmm. And what was that war for you when you started to follow a pull towards ministry and mixing golf together? What was the war?
I think, well, part of it was the physical aspect of it. You know, no one plans on getting sick. So, you know, that was definitely kind of a turn of events for sure. Yeah. But I think one thing about it is, you know, when I started posting about golf back in 2019, you know, it was just golf, you know, there was like some things about like my faith here and there, but pretty much if you looked at my content, it was just golf, like trick shots, what's in the bag, like play a hole, like just, you know, the little fun things. And then when I started really posting about my faith, one, I would say I definitely lost quite a few followers.
Okay.
I was also working with a brand at the time that we were on contract with, and they sent me an email and said, hey, Catherine, you know, we love what you're doing, but because of, you know, we're looking out for our company and our business, we don't feel like it's going to be a good fit with how outspoken you are about your faith.
Wow.
And that was okay. I think in the moment I was a little disappointed because, you know, you sure. work so hard to work with all these people and have these opportunities. And then it's like, well, I feel like I'm doing the right thing. I feel like I'm doing what God wants me to do. But then it's like, wait, why is the store shutting? And why am I losing this? And why am I not getting that support? But I think it just serves to prove that when you are on the right path with God and you're doing what he says, it doesn't mean that everyone's going to love you or everyone's going to support you. You know, at the end of the day, what matters though is you're doing it for God and having him in mind. And, you know, even that door closed, I can look back now and be like, wait, even bigger doors opened from it. So I think that, you know, the right opportunities and the right people will be in your life and God will open doors for those when you're doing yeah. the right.
Hey, all real quick, if you like this podcast, please go leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. The more you do that, the more people will get to hear it. Plus, if you want all the behind-the-scenes stuff on me and Holy Work, plus daily videos and content to inspire and challenge you, go follow me on Instagram. Instagram's pretty great, I think, as far as social media platforms go, we have to go on there. But I love spending time up there and putting content out at Luke Lefevre. My name's hard to spell. Yep, it's at LukeLefevre. Say hi. That your podcast listener would love to meet you, talk to you on that platform. Okay, back to my conversation with Catherine. Tell me about the sickness that happened. What, if you're comfortable talking about it, what happened?
Yeah, so I was on the range. I thought I had tweaked my back, you know, and went into the doctor. They did like a quick, they did like a scan and everything. I got a steroid shot and all that kind of stuff. And then about a week, about 5 days to a week later, I started not feeling good. And I woke up one morning and I could like barely move or feel the left side of my body. It was like so crazy. And I was like, this is definitely not good. And went in again, got a bunch of blood work and a bone scan and all the things. And they found a cancerous tumor on my spine. That was definitely not the diagnosis you want to hear, especially when golf is such a rotational sport. And I'm not going to sit here and bore you with the fundamentals of a golf swing, but a lot of it's rotational, very much involves the spine. And so I was like, well, this one is not ideal. And then two, I also was like, am I going to be able to play golf? Am I going to be able to do what I love? Like, what am I going to do? And I ended up going through treatment and beating it in about 3.5 months. So praise God, you know, I've been cancer-free and in full remission since. But it definitely was hard. I think mentally it was very, very hard. And then physically it was very hard too. But I tried to stay as much close to like daily life as much as possible and trying to continue to play as much as I could and just, you know, looking at each day as a gift and an opportunity to serve the Lord no matter what circumstance I was in. Wow,
man. And how far along after you sort of decided to create this golf and faith content did the cancer happen?
I would say I got sick about 3.5 years and about 3 years into making golf content and faith content. So, you know, I was outspoken. I started being really outspoken of my faith towards the beginning of that year. And then I got sick in the spring, right before season. So it definitely was a trying time for sure.
Fascinating. You and I haven't talked about this, so I'm not sure if you know that, but I left Ramsey, the role I had at Ramsey, to start moving in this direction and helping people learn to journal and slow down and run this holy work method. And I had really just started I left in August of 22, took a couple months off, and then really just started, okay, what the heck am I going to do? How am I going to build this thing? And that's when my wife was diagnosed with cancer. She was diagnosed with a pretty intense breast cancer. And it's not that the cancer is necessarily the war, although it is the war, but it's all the things that happen in your brain. Like it's fear, it's voices in your head, and then it's just general resistance. So fear is, oh my gosh, I've made a mistake. I shouldn't probably keep going in this direction. We should change course. Then the voices in your head are, you're going to fail anyways. You know, whatever those things are. And then resistance is, I just don't want to. I'm tired or anything like that. What was the fear going through your head when you were like, well, I'm trying to build this thing? Did the cancer come after you told your parents you're wanting to start this new thing?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
It came after.
So what was the fear? Yeah, what was the fear going through your head then?
I think for me, one was, I mean, it's not like you can just take like some Tylenol and, you know, vest or something like that. I also, like, this sounds, I'm going to say this, but as a girl, I was like, am I going to lose my hair? And I remember calling my parents.
This is real.
Listen to this, and he's gonna like roll his eyes. I know he will, but
that's okay.
I was like, Dad, I was like, I think you're the only one that can really pull off like the receding hairline look. So like, I'm a little nervous about that. Like, I think part of me was like realistically trying to like be like, okay, I'm still gonna go to work. I have benefits and health insurance. Like, I was like going through this checklist in my mind, but then I like hit a wall. Like, I had just finished like my first pass of radiation. I go home and I sit, and I was just like so sad.
Yeah.
Because I was like, why in the world is this happening? Like, I had already had like a rough kind of start to the year, and then this happened, and I just kind of felt like, I was like, God, like, why is this happening right now? I felt like as soon as like I got through one thing, it was like another mountain was ahead of me.
Yeah.
And it was tough. It definitely was tough. I think I had a lot of fear about, one, if I was going to make it, two, if I was going to be able to like show up in my community, you know, if I was going to like find someone that would accept me for who I am. And then also like, am I going to be able to continue doing what I love too?
Yeah.
I think those were just the fears that I had of like, what's what is life going to look like for me, especially like playing golf, you know, there's a big physical aspect to it. So I'm like, am I going to feel the same way or am I going to be able to play the same way that I do?
Yeah. I mean, it's real. Like those are the real fears we have. And a lot of people just don't talk about them. You know, am I going to lose my hair? That is a valid fear. My wife was very worried about it and then it all ended up happening. And sometimes our worst fears actually do happen. And then you come out the other side and you're like, wow, fear led to wisdom. Fear led to some strength. It's really an impactful story. What was the voices in your head saying? So if the fear was like, I'm not going to be able to play golf and all that, what were the voices in your head saying?
I think, honestly, the voices in my head like came very much after the fact, like after I was like cancer free, in remission, and they're like, you're good. Like, you know, there's a very like minuscule chance that it would ever come back. It was like, I got out of it. And then it was like about 6 months later, it kind of hit, like the mental side of it hit me. I was like, wait, I just went this really traumatic thing. Yeah. You know, I'm all healed now, but like mentally I was like so drained. I had always struggled with anxiety and depression. And then I just felt like it hit a wall. And so these voices in my head were telling me like, oh, you're not good enough. Like no one's ever going to love you. Like the world's not going to accept you. Like all this stuff. And like, I like kind of let those thoughts almost like really, really get to me. And then I remember like calling my parents and talking to them about it and talking to like some of my close friends in my community. And they're like, well, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give you life. And I think that going back to when I have those anxious thoughts and I have that fear, I always come back to that verse of like, you know, God works really hard, but the enemy also works really hard too. And, you know, I just remember that these thoughts are not coming from God. They're coming from the enemy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating the anxiousness that we all deal with. And that, I mean, that's why I like do this podcast. I don't want it to be, hey, look, Pollyanna, trust God and everything works out. It's like, no, stuff happens and we're anxious about it and it gets scary. And that's the real stuff. And I think when you have a ministry that you're trying to do, I love the line you said earlier, you don't have a testimony without a test. Like people aren't always going to just believe you if you haven't gone through something. Like you're a guide to guide them through. Mandy experienced some of that same stuff. It's like when you're in the fight, you're almost focused on the fight. Like let's go to the radiation, let's go to the treatments, let's do all these things. And then when it's over, all of a sudden, oh, the house isn't on fire anymore. I have to deal with all the things that got burned down. When the house is on fire, you just get everybody out of it and you get out to the street. But then you're like, oh, geez, what do we got to do now? And so I can relate
it's
to
like you're in like
what you
fight or flight. You know, you're like focused on the fight. The fight's over. But then you have all of these like emotional repercussions and feelings from it, and rightfully so. And I like how you mentioned like being open and being vulnerable, like more people can relate to. It's not like, oh, you trust God and everything's just sunshines and rainbows. You know, I've been a believer my whole entire life. You know, I grew up in a great Christian household. My parents, I adore them and they love me and treat us so well. And I would love to sit here and say like, yeah, as soon as like I got baptized, it was like, great, you know, I've just been living on cloud nine. But if that's not true. Yeah. You know, it's not, you know, true. Just because you're like, I believe in God and he's there, it doesn't mean like your life is just gonna be perfect, you know. But I think, you know, one of the questions I got asked one time was like, if I had a good look back on my story and do it all over again or not do it again, like if I had the option to, would I do it? And I honestly think I would do it again. Like all the pain, all suffering, the heartache, you know, when my body's failing, my heart's breaking, all this stuff, you know, because I don't get to tell you now just about a God that was there for me and who was there, but about a God who saved me. And I think that there's something really beautiful about that, is not just going to God because he's good, but going to God because he's beautiful.
That's good. I read a book called Disappointment with God by Philip Yancey not too long ago. And he just put it so good. I read it while Mandy was going through chemo, and he said something like, a lot of people confuse life with God. And so when something bad in life happens, we think it's God's fault or God did this. But life is not God. Like, they're two different things. Things happen to us in life, and God is with us through those things, and we can ask him to change those things, and he may or may not. But I thought that was a powerful thing for me to come to a realization of and be like, this thing that is happening is not God. It's right. Life. Mm-hmm. And life has some sucky things that happen. And you think of, the example of the disciples of Jesus, they didn't all turn out okay. Like, they got murdered, they got killed. It's not like, hey, follow me and it's going to be nice and easy. However, I do think when you are following God's actual pull and where he's guiding you, that burden is light. And mm-hmm. I do think the more you follow it, not that you're not going to feel anxiety anymore, not that you're not going to feel depression anymore, but you do start to, it does start to ease some of that burden when you're actually following him through that fear, through those voices, through that resistance.
Right. The world is going to be so heavy at times. Like, you're not going to know what's going to be thrown at you. And, you know, I read something one time, it's like, your circumstances change, but like, your Savior remains the same. And I think when you say, like, yeah, we have God, and that's incredible, because God is the foundation and never changes. And you have someone to run to in those moments when the world feels so dark, or in those moments when you feel like you're just in a situation that you're not going to be able to get through, when those thoughts just feel so consuming. You know, it's like, you have an out, you have somewhere to go, you have someone that knows you and loves you and wants to love you and wants to be with you.
Yeah, it's cool. So you talked a little about the pull. You've talked about the war that happened once you started to follow that pull, and what I call the next phase that people go through, the wilderness. So you start moving in the direction, you hit the war, you learn to fight it, and the wilderness is really where the work happens. I think another word for wilderness is just work, and you're building things, and part of the wilderness is where you have to clean up some old messes, you have to learn some new skills. You have to learn patience. So as you started to continue to fight through that war and you start to build this brand, this ministry you have going, what is the vision for where you want it to go? What are you building?
Yeah, so I really want to, last year I opened it up to just young adults. This year I'm actually going to open it up to everyone with the kingdom mindset of all are welcome, because I feel like there's also wisdom to be had in surrounding yourself with people that are not the same age as you or not exactly like you. Combining those that are young and old, you know, on the course. Because one, I mean, golf's a great game. I think it's for everyone. You can use it in business. You can do it professionally. You can do it for work or just for fun and recreation. But I want to create a space where everyone's welcome. It doesn't really matter, like, if you're a great golfer or not. But just a space where you can talk about God in a safe space and hang out and have fun and just have that mindset of, like, we're all here for God.
Yeah. So Catherine Walsh in 2030, 5 years from now, what do you want this thing to be? Where do you want your life to be in 5 years?
I would love to continue doing for his glory. You know, I'm kind of letting God take the reins in it and saying, like, God, this is yours. Because I will say there was a lot that happened last year in the best way that I was like, I never could have done this without him. So I'm kind of just letting, like, surrendering that to God. I also am a golf and travel correspondent. So, you know, I'd love to just continue doing that, traveling around to courses and just seeing where the game and God takes me.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. Once you work through the wilderness, was there one of the things we say is you have to clean up some messes. So you started working on this thing, you started building something new, building a brand. Was there anything in your life you were like, oh man, I gotta clean that up. I gotta work on that. It could be some people have debts, some people have addictions, some people have many different things. Was there anything like that for you?
Yeah, I think for me the biggest thing was one. I sometimes felt like my own worst critic. You know, I get so critical of myself. And then also not really letting the opinions of other people affect me that much. I think that when you do put yourself out there, you're also putting yourself out there for the negativity. and not having those negative comments and those negative people have so much weight on your life.
Yeah.
I would love to sit here now and say that I don't struggle with that still, but I definitely still do. And so I definitely have had to like teach myself, and you know, my parents are always like, hurt people.
Yeah.
So just having that in mind and learning to pray for those that hurt me.
Yeah, it's interesting. Talking about journaling, I'm like, a lot of people on the internet need to journal, because what they're doing is they're journaling on comments of people's stuff, and they're just letting out all their rage there. And it's like, let's put this in a safer place. I started posting on Instagram probably in 2023. So not very long ago. I really wrestled with it. I helped get it started at Ramsey. I helped get that stuff going. But as far as putting myself out there personally, I really struggled with it. I didn't want to, because it's like, oh, there's going to be critics. And I didn't know what I was doing. And so I just posted something back in, I think it was February of 23. And I was like, man, there's gonna be so many people with opinions and blah, blah, blah. No joke. Like the second day that I put something out there, I can't even remember what it was. I got a message from somebody that was like, how dare you post this kind of thing? And you're the worst. It was like all these fears I had in my head, this person put into a message and sent me into a DM. And I was just like, see, God, that's why I didn't want to do this. That's why I didn't want to do this dumb stuff. And it was just like, keep going, keep going, keep going. And there was, I started putting, I put up a video, I don't know, this was like 2 years ago now, about a session I was going to do here in Franklin, like a Holy Works session. And this guy posted, I don't know where he's from, Kentucky or something. He goes, this is such bullshit, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to come down there to your session and I'm going to beat you up. He was like saying he was going to beat me up or something. And he was like legit like attacking. And so I normally ignore it. This one, I was like, dude, why all the hate? And he was like, no hate, brother. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, it was just crazy. So yeah, you got to learn to deflect this, all the voices. Oh my goodness, it's crazy.
You kind of have some thick skin, because they just come out of the woodwork. I mean, like, if you want to critique my golf swing, by all means, go for it. I know it could be better. Like, I'll say right now in public, critique my golf swing. But then people started coming, like, there were some people that would just come out of the woodwork with just these crazy comments about, like, my body image, like, my faith, all this kind of stuff. And I'm just like, wow, you're really reaching. You're really, really reaching. And then I've had, like, the complete opposite, where it's like, I've, like, dealt with people that are, like, a little like too much in the nicest way, and it's like, let's take a step back.
Yeah,
you know, so you definitely got to be careful if you put yourself out there, for sure.
Yeah. How much do you think those kind of comments and that kind of stuff feeds the anxiousness, the anxiety?
I would say now maybe 20%, if that.
Okay.
Before, it used to be really bad. I used to get bullied a lot as a kid, and so I dealt a lot with that. And so I think that, and then just some of the comments were like kind of triggering. So at first they held more weight, but I think since I've, you know, built a stronger relationship with God, and knowing who He says I am, I feel like it's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, good. Do you think that bullying when you were a kid triggers the anxiety now sometimes?
Oh yes, 100%. Especially before like events, you know, or you know, you get invited somewhere and like, we'd love for you to come, and then you don't know anyone there. You know, I was just talking to someone the other day, and they're like, probably some of the best advice I've ever heard is like, just walk into the room because you're supposed to be there. You know, even if you don't know anyone, even if you don't know what's going to happen, like, God has you there for a reason, you know, so just like, let His light shine through you.
Yeah.
And that's been so helpful, because I definitely think, you know, when you're a kid and you just want to fit in and you want people to like you, and then you just hear these comments of like, you're not good enough, or like the people closest to you that you love or, you know, hurt you, things they say and comments and stuff can just get to you and really have an effect on your self-esteem and self-confidence.
For sure. How old were you when the bullying happened?
I definitely started probably when I was in kindergarten, actually. I was very young. So I grew up in Central Illinois. My parents are both Caucasian, and my brother and I are both, I'm Vietnamese, he's from Taiwan. So we're both adopted. And so obviously, like, our family looked different. I was the only person in my class that was not Caucasian, too. And so I feel like at that age, kids just kind of nitpick little things. Yeah. And then, you know, junior high as a girl is just such a walk in the park. And so, you know, they just start like nitpicking little things. And then over time, these little comments just start becoming like thoughts you're just constantly feeding yourself. So I definitely struggle with having that self-confidence and not, you know, letting insecurities get the best of me.
Yeah. We learn to survive by the time we're 12 years old. And so when you learn those things and people are saying those comments as you're growing up, your mind is like, oh, this is how we survive. We deflect this, we do this. How did you work through the bullying when you were a kid? Did you perform? Did you hide? Did you run? What happened?
That goes back to the old saying of kill them with kindness. I think the one thing that I always go back to is, you know, of Jesus as an example, Jesus's love. And, you know, people, even those that love you or you love, are going to hurt you. And they're going to say mean things. They might do mean things, not intentionally, or maybe it is intentionally. And, you know, you look at the life of Jesus. He wasn't always the most well-loved guy, you know, he wasn't, but, you know, hurt people. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're supposed to love others as Jesus would. So just show them with kindness, because most of the time when people are coming after you or saying things or hurtful things, most of the time is they're the ones that need love the most. So it's just, you know, it's showing kindness and compassion and grace and mercy to those that hurt us. And I'd love to sit here and say, like, that came easy to me, but there's a prayer that I pray every single day, even now. Back then I prayed it. Like years later, I pray it now. And it's like, God, give me the eyes to see you, ears to hear you and discern your voice, the mouth to speak truth and wisdom in your name. And let me love others the way that Jesus would love them, even those that hurt me. And I think that prayer has really helped me in times when I feel like I'm under attack or I'm dealt with a situation, because it's still being able to show kindness and compassion and mercy to those that hurt us.
Yeah, it's really hard, to do. So what would you say to somebody who's listening? They are going through a hard time. You've been through some hard times in your life. They're feeling stuck. They're feeling restless. They're feeling disappointment with God or themselves. Is there something you would leave them with today?
I would say lean into God. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be extravagant. You don't need to get up on stage and tell the world how much you love the Lord. It could be in the quietness of your own home with the doors closed. But lean into God, even if you don't know what to say, you don't have anything else to give. Because I've been in those moments where, like, I am just so broken down and beaten down, and I just feel like the world's just crashing around me. And the only thing that I have to give is just, like, my arms open wide and just being like, God, here I am. I don't know what to do. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going on, but, like, here I am. Because the one thing that I've learned that the enemy will do is try to separate you from the love that is the Lord. And God standing there for you with arms open wide, wanting to love you. And, you know, no matter what other people say about you, or no matter how you feel, like, every single person is worthy and deserving of love from others, and especially love from the Lord. And that's my best piece of advice that I could give, is to lean into the love and grace that is Jesus Christ.
Yeah. How do you do that? When you say lean in, I get emails from people that are like, I just want to feel God, or I just want this intangible thing for you. What does it look like to lean into him?
For me, it's journaling, but sometimes, I'll be honest, when I don't feel like journaling, it's going somewhere outside. Usually it's like a park bench. I have this place that I go. I went through Freedom Prayer, and they always tell you, close your eyes and picture yourself with Jesus. And so what I do is I go and I close my eyes, and I go to an actual park bench, funny enough. Cool. I go and I sit on the bench and I picture myself as if I'm sitting next to Jesus. And I know that there might be people that listen to this and be like, well, I don't know what Jesus looks like. I don't know. No. But I would just say, close your eyes and just take a deep breath and just kind of let this, like, open yourself up to letting that peace just come over you and feeling like you're there with a friend. Because I think one thing that I love about how God has shown up in my life is I've gotten to know him as a father and as a friend, as a healer and as a savior. And so, you know, wherever you're at, he's going to meet you.
Yeah, that's good. I always like to push for the tangible thing that is. And I love that image of going to the park bench and imagining him sitting next to you. Like, that's a tangible thing that somebody might be listening and be like, oh, that's too weird for me. But it's like, try it. Like, go do it.
And one thing too that I have found is, like, when people think of God, you know, he's like this big almighty, you know, being, and he's wonderful, he's great, you know, that's not how great is our God. But, you know, one of the things that I love is that he's also our friend. And so you don't have to think of God as like some person that you can't approach, you know, especially if you feel, if you're someone that feels so undeserving or unworthy of love, or don't feel like you deserve it or like can accept it or give it, you know.
Yeah.
Thinking of him as someone that you can just go to talk to is just like one of your best friends, like one of your best mates, you know, has always helped me too in those moments where I don't feel good enough for God's love.
Yeah, it's good. Well, thanks, Catherine, for being here. This was a great conversation. I know it's going to help a bunch of people. Where should people go to find out more about you?
Instagram would probably be the best place. It's okay. At Catherine.Walsh.
Yeah, and I'll put that in the comments too. She's got a great profile there and doing lots of cool things. So thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I always want to give you space at the end of this podcast to give you some time to reflect. I need this. I need this as well. I don't just want to flip to the next piece of content or the next thing I have to work on. Your brain has not even come close to processing this. So we're going to end with a little meditation and a time of quiet for you to listen, to slow yourself down. So to help you do that, I just want you to put your feet on the ground. I want you to close your eyes, uncross your arms, and I just want you to recognize your breathing. I don't want you to change anything about it. I just want you to recognize it. Are you breathing fast? Are you breathing slow? How about your shoulders? Just let them relax. And now I want you to take a deep breath, going 4 seconds in through your nose, filling the belly. And as you release, I want you to purse your lips and release for about 8 seconds out through your mouth. I'm going to count one here, and then I'll model you one after that. So let's inhale, 2, 3, 4. And exhale, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Again, inhale and exhale. And inhale and exhale. That's good. I just want you to sit in quiet here for a minute. We have so many distractions, and this little bit of time is about slowing down. So I just want you to take 1 minute. Choose to sit in the quiet. Just notice the things happening in the room you're in or on the walk you're on, the noises, the smells, your breathing. I'm going to start 1 minute of silence now. All right, and lastly for today, I just want you to sit in that silence some more, but I want to let your heart, soul, and mind process all the things you heard. This is about listening to what you're feeling pulled to. So I just want you to close your eyes, take that deep breath, and I just want you to ask God, in light of everything I heard today, what do I need to hear from you today? What do you want me to remember and take away from this? And I just want you to listen. Your mind may start racing and doing the squirrel brain thing. Just let it happen and focus back on the question. God, what do I need to hear from you today? What do you want me to remember and take away from this? Just going to spend 1 minute on this. Just close your eyes, if you can, and listen. Starting now. Okay, that was 1 minute. Thanks so much for joining me today. I hope this was inspiring to you. Thanks for being here. Remember to leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and go follow me on Instagram at Luke Lefevre. If you don't know how to spell my name, just look at the podcast name for daily inspiration and behind the scenes stuff on what we're doing here at Holy Work. Lots of good stuff coming. Our quote of the day comes from Catherine. I liked one of the things she said. She said, golf is like life. You got bad shots. You can choose to let them ruin your day or reset and keep playing. We'll see you next time.